Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Welcome, everyone, to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. I'm Sharon Lecter, your host, and I'm excited to introduce somebody that I'm meeting for the first time as well. So I would like to welcome David Steele to the podcast. Welcome, David.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, our community is going to be absolutely enthralled with your story and not only running a $1 billion fund, but also multiple restaurants. And you truly are a tremendous example of a serial entrepreneur, as well as someone who gives back to the community. And so it's something that we teach, power of association. I know you can't do it without a great team, but I love to start each podcast with you telling us a little bit about little David. You shared a little bit before we started the recording, but share the beginning of your story.
Well, I have to, first of all, let the cat out of the bag. It's always about the team, full stop. More specifically, it's always about people.
Yeah.
So I just want to.
I couldn't agree more.
So I just want to get that out there. If it's not about people, it's not worth doing. And I don't care what it is.
That's right. That my number one is about the power of association and making sure people. Why do we do it? For our people. We do it for people. Yes, I agree.
So I come from originally from New Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. I'm an East Coast person and grew up, my brother and I, single mom. She was a school teacher. So we were sort of always struggling financially. I worked in restaurants all through high school and college, wanted to open a restaurant. When I got out of college, wasn't confident I could be economically secure because of the people that I had worked for and observing their way they ran businesses. And so I went into something that had a higher probability of economic security, which is financial services. And I started building a financial services company. I'm sort of myself and one client at a time, and ultimately hired my brother as my first team member. And he and I now run this wealth management company called One Wealth Advisors, which manages about a $1.1 billion in assets under management. We have a 12-person team, and it's a wonderful, lovely family partnership, if you will.
That's wonderful. And I tell everybody, you know, blood and money can be fantastic or it can be a problem if you don't have go in with very good understanding of everybody's expectations. So you have obviously done it right. So tell a little bit about, you know, you've grown this incredible business and I teach about the power of association. I teach about assets. So in addition to raising this and creating this incredible firm, you started, I think I saw 7 restaurants, multiple restaurants, which so you went back to your original passion of what you wanted to do. You now have this economic engine that's generating the revenue that you can do things that you wanted to do. So talk a little bit about that transition.
Well, it wasn't, I mean, I guess the transition was from living, you know, sort of assuming a career was binary, which is to say I had to do one thing or another thing, and slowly having realization that I didn't have to do one thing or the other thing, that there was in fact a way to do more than one thing. That was an accident. I arrived upon that realization accidentally. I had to scratch an itch to open a restaurant. It was something I had a hypothesis when I was working in restaurants that someday I would test this idea that artisanship in fact could maybe be profitable as well and financially sustainable. I had no modeling that it could, but instinctively I at least thought I'd like to try it. So I went to my brother and I said, hey, we have a wonderfully successful business. I want to go to part time, or I want to do another thing part time, and I want to go to 75% time with our financial planning practice. And he was super supportive. He was actually a chef when he was in college. And we had originally talked about maybe opening a restaurant together. And then he decided he hated cooking. So he had probably more empathy for my desire than another partner might have in a business. So and I put a team together. We opened a restaurant. Had it not been as successful it was, I'm not sure I'd have a restaurant company with 250 employees, and I'm executive chairman and having a bunch of restaurants and a consumer packaged goods business. But the first one was really successful, one of the more successful restaurants in the history of the San Francisco Bay Area, actually.
Do you mind sharing the name of the restaurant?
It's flour and water, like the ingredients for dough, and it's we our logo is flour plus water. And you'll eventually see it hopefully all over the country in grocery stores with our dried pasta and eventually frozen pizza. So it sort of turned into a thing. And like we had said, there's a bunch of other restaurants, but that was the original restaurant that I was fortunate enough to have success with. So I, of course, wanted to keep helping build that company. I wasn't going to work at the restaurants, but I moved myself to more of an executive chairman or working chairman like role. While I still was CEO of One Wealth Advisors, and now I'm still doing both.
Well, and probably it looks like you're loving it because you seem pretty excited about talking about it. So talk about, I teach the power of buying, building, creating assets, multiple assets. And so you made a comment about moving from a thinking of binary income to multiple streams of income. So that's a huge issue for most people. Most people are chasing exchanging time for money, wages. So share a little bit about what you see. I mean, obviously you have probably pretty wealthy clients if you're managing $1 billion in assets. So, but you've seen through this transfer people moving from that career wage impact to one of passive income through assets generating revenue. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I'm really critical of especially what I perceive to be our society to be is today and our influences versus when I was younger. I don't like the direction things are going. I mean, listen, envy, FOMO, et cetera, has been a problem since the beginning of humankind, I'm sure. But it does seem to me that with the prevalence of information at your fingertips now, and every opinion gets out there and gets in your ear and your eyes, you really only hear about the success stories, because the failures, unless they're dramatic, nobody talks about them. They just sort of die without any information, anybody hearing the stories. And so what it, I think, has unfortunately done is it has created an environment where when people hear about overnight successes, whether it be as investors or starting a business as an entrepreneur, those are the stories they hear about. The unicorns, the extreme success stories that happen quickly, or they don't even hear the story about how long it took to succeed, whether again, it being an investment or as an entrepreneur. I'd like to actually conflate those two, because most investments are, in fact, somebody's entrepreneurship. That is, you're buying a piece of somebody's company. If you're buying a publicly traded stock, it was an entrepreneurial idea at once, and maybe is still entrepreneurial in spirit. And so the first thing I would convince anybody who listens to me is change your expectations from it happening quickly to it happening in a reasonable period of time. And if your expectations are lower and you make plans with lower, more realistic, conservative expectations, not only do you have a decent chance of exceeding your expectations practically with the results of the investment or the entrepreneurial endeavor, emotionally, you're probably going to always be excited and happy, versus disappointed, even when things maybe are going better than other people than they are for other people. So it's sort of playing with your own expectations and emotions, I think, is really
So
important.
true. I wrote a blog years ago on changing your lenses, change your expectations, and it is the most read blog I've ever written. And I talk about money most of the time. So I absolutely agree with what you just said. And it's such an important issue because you're right. There's so much noise and chaos around us, and so many people sound sexy about overnight success and that FOMO. We finally figured out what that meant years ago, and I tell people let's not look at FOMO, let's look at JOMO, joy of missing out, so that you focus on what you want to do. I said, so that's my standard line these days. Forget FOMO, let's do JOMO. Focus on what you want, not what everybody else wants. So,
I'm gonna steal that.
oh,
That's
you're welcome to.
awesome.
You're welcome to. It sounds like we're singing the same song and expectations. In fact, I just literally did an interview about the holidays, and I said, for many years, I had these expectations of what was going to happen during the holidays, and seldom did my expectations actually become reality. But when I changed my expectations to create the environment so people could do what they want to, the world changed. So expectations are very, very important. So what
I
is
read,
next for you?
let me just make a comment on that. I read, I think it was Charlie Munger. It might have been Warren Buffett, Charlie Munger's partner. There, Charlie was the one who passed away. But I read that one of the things that they look out for are CEOs who say no the overwhelming majority of the time and rarely say yes for what they commit to with their time or their company's resources or whatever. And I think there's a real lesson in there as it relates to investing or entrepreneurship or life, maybe. Anyhow, sorry, you asked me what's
Yeah, no, I mean, it's called focus, right? It's called, understanding when you have a focus on what you want, you don't have that shiny object syndrome stuff, taking your eye off the ball. So what's next for you? You've got this hugely successful companies. You talk about giving back. Talk a little bit about the philanthropic side of what you do.
Well, I've been on and off boards of arts organizations usually because that's a particularly interesting area, often around music, theater, and visual art, for 15 years. And so all of my philanthropic time and money goes to the arts. And so currently it's I'm spending a lot of time with a music organization that I've been involved with for a long time called Noise Pop, which puts on it's a very local San Francisco Bay Area music festival producer promoter. Because what's happening in the music industry, I think unfortunately, is the large companies are starting to really dominate the Live Nations and the AEGs of the world, and they create this cradle to grave relationship with artists and venues, and it just really pushes out independent voices in music. And so I've for years actually been investing a lot of time with them to try to help them, frankly, survive. We can't think about flourishing, we're just really trying to survive. So that's one of the things I put my time and money into.
You talk about in your bio about using businesses as a means to enact positive change and giving back. And that's why I asked the question, because it is the better we're off we are, the more impact we can make and the more we can give. And I think it's so important for people to recognize their success as a means to help other people as well. So.
Well, I was on the board for the New York Foundation for Artists for a while, and what attracted me to that organization is I had spent a lot of time with visual artists who that listen, a doctor is a business person, a lawyer is a business person, an artist ideally is a business person. That is to say, they understand that a component of what they do is in fact act as an entrepreneur, and behaviors and systematic discipline like things they should be doing are very unfortunately not creative necessarily or technical. They're business, but yet go through the curriculum of law school or medical school or art school, and you will find almost nothing, if not nothing, around business. And so New York Foundation for Artists exists to help visual artists actually have curriculum and resources made available to them so they can learn how to be business people. So that would be an example of what I'm really interested in this next phase.
Once again, something I'm very passionate about. I mean, we've got tons of clients who are artists, musicians, as well as people who have been doctors and lawyers, and they have no clue how to run their practices. So they, you know, excellent at what they do, but they need to have those people on their team. So let's circle back to the importance of team, because I think that's part of it. An artist may not be the one that should be running their business, but they need to know enough to know that they need to create the business part of that. And that's having people on your team who are strong where you are weak. And since you were very passionate about that when we first started, talk a little bit about the people in your life and the importance of team.
Well, I referred to my brother earlier, who's my founding partner of my financial planning company. And of course, love him very much. And he's the most incredible partner one could imagine. And we have 10 other people on our team who we tell explicitly and hopefully through our actions, implicitly through our energy, our words, our behaviors, that we couldn't do without them, that in fact, we are one, each of us, one part of a system. And I am further along in my career, which means I can sort of delegate and elevate, is a phrase I've heard recently that I kind of like. I'm fortunate enough to be able to do that. But the people being delegated to, for lack of a better phrase, hopefully what's happening is there's a foundation building with knowledge and wisdom and experience and technical skills that as we continue to scale, they'll be able to delegate and elevate. And I think that's how an organization scales. I've heard this term polymath, and I have said before that if I was less, or if I was more ambitious, I'd write a book called Debunking the Polymath, because the idea of a polymath to me is really somebody who has mastered one thing, that is getting people to coalesce around an idea. So if you look at the Steve Jobs and the Elon Musk of the world, they're called polymaths. And I would say, yeah, well, they did one thing. They had ideas, or they had other people's ideas, and they got people to coalesce and activate on those ideas. And that's an incredible skill. But that's a complete acknowledgement that we can't do it on our own. We need people.
That's so true. And so many of us, I mean, school teaches us to do it on our own. And that's one of the biggest lessons I try and teach people, is that, you know, to truly be successful, that power of association, having the right mentor, having the people on your team, is how you can truly make the impact that you want to make. Don't try to do it on your own. And I think, as you know, every successful person I interview, we talk about the power of team, and you know, not one of them does not acknowledge the fact that they couldn't be where they are without the team and the people around them. So it's very important.
You've interviewed good people, because we all know people that have had radical success who never acknowledged their team.
Oh yes, I've got that list over here too, but I refuse to interview them. So yeah,
there you go.
Yeah, I know a lot of them too, but I want to highlight the people that really have.
It's not to say they didn't have teams. That is what got them to where they are. They did.
They just didn't acknowledge them. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Couldn't agree more. And some people that acknowledge people and then they decide not to anymore. So when ego gets in the way, so I can't agree with you more. I'm going to ask you to hang out. We're going to do another shorter recording for my private Facebook group. And this place is called the Play Big Movement private Facebook group. And these people have come together saying they want to play a bigger game. They want to be number one in their field. They want to live their legacy. And I talk about legacies created every single day with every heart you touch, and to create maximum impact. And you obviously can't create maximum impact without having the right team around. But one of the things, we get a little bit more personal in that part of the recording, and we talk about
setbacks. How do you get through the setbacks? And then we end up asking you about your daily habits. So if you'll hang on with me for a few more minutes. So David, if people want to connect with you or find you, what's the best way they can do that?
Because I do each of my businesses, and there's more than the two we've talked about, they each have, of course, their own websites, but I have a central website I created that is it's davidsteele.xyz, davidsteele, davidsteele.xyz. So you can see all my silly stuff I get involved with there. Well,
so
some
you're,
of them
you're multiple, see your multiple assets on davidsteele.xyz. I love that. Yeah. Thank you very much, David. And for all of you watching and listening, rewind this and listen, because you're hearing it from somebody who's been there, done that, and is committed to giving back. I can't highlight that enough and how important it is, and values the team that helped him get there. So listen to it, share it with your friends, give us some feedback, and make sure you continue listening and learning from David by coming into the private Facebook group. Until then, you're fabulous. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much and have a fabulous day.